Terry Savage, terrysavage.com, the syndicated financial columnist, joins us on Wednesdays. I don't mean to speak out of school. You don't have to answer this question, Terry. But what were you and David Hochberg talking about as he was leaving here today?
I said to him, okay, you forgot one very important thing.
About David. That low-interest credit card of his.
No, not that. We were talking about his advice to pay off high-interest credit card debt.
Yeah.
With a line of credit.
Yep.
And then, since it was in your budget to pay $1,800, because that was your minimum payment on your insanely expensive credit cards, keep paying that on your home equity line of credit. You'll pay that down, but just paying the minimum on your credit card, which is true, it'll take you 31 years to pay it off, and you'll pay four times the amount you originally charged in interest.
Yeah.
Okay, that's just Terry Savage 101 stuff.
Well, the listener had $49,000 in credit card debt.
Yeah, right. But
okay.
So I said, that's great, but you forgot one thing, David. You have to tell them to cut up their credit card. Now, that reflects the fact that I've been around so long that the only way you could use your credit card was cut, you know, you could get yourself out of...
Wait, he did not go, good idea, Terry.
No, because he said... I said, cut up your credit card, because that's something from the olden days when I was traveling around the country on behalf of the National Foundation for Credit Counseling, telling people how to get out of debt. It was a tour sponsored by the credit card companies on behalf of credit counseling.
Wow.
Okay? That was many years ago. And I would say, the one thing they said, please don't tell people to cut up their credit cards. But of course, that's what you have to do, because the real problem is charging your card up again. But what David said to me is, Terry, don't tell them to close their accounts. I said, no, I didn't mean to say close your account, because that does impact your credit. You need long-held credit. But you have to get out of the habit of using them for everything. And nowadays, you can't just, quote, cut up your card. What you have to do, and ask me, I know this, is we recognize you on this device, so here's PayPal. Go ahead and pay on your credit card. Amazon, oh, hi, welcome back. Oh, sure, we know you charge. This is your favorite, your preferred address. Send. It's so much easier today to get into credit card debt.
Without the physical card.
Because you don't have to go somewhere, dig it out, and taking it out of your wallet isn't like an agony, because it's your credit card's like pinned to your brain, and all you have to do is use your finger and click buy it, and you don't have to remember the number. I remember when I used to shop late at night out of catalogs.
Yeah.
You know, and the Spiegel catalog. This, now you all know.
And you were drunk at the time.
No, I wasn't drunk.
Okay, that's fine.
I
was wondering if that
And was I was so proud that I had my credit card number memorized, because I had done it so often. I don't know my credit card number except the last four digits now.
Yeah.
But that doesn't matter, because PayPal knows it and Shopify knows it.
I want to tell you a story, though. So I got a letter from a listener in Minnesota who works at the Mayo Clinic and I think has decent income. He was in Chicago and he stayed in a hotel and he used his credit card. And then he saw unauthorized charges on his credit card via the hotel or from the hotel. And so he had that credit card canceled.
Absolutely.
And a new one issued. And then it started to happen again from the same place. And he said, how does that happen? And they said, well, we shared your new credit card with anybody, with the previous vendors. He said, why would you do that? They said, that's a courtesy we extend to our favored vendors. And he said, that's the problem I got into to begin with. They said, that happens a lot. And I thought that if you cancel your credit card, if you have, say, an automatic debit or an automatic charge to your credit card, say your utility bills or something like that, that's on your credit card, that they would no longer do that. You have to reestablish a new credit card with all of those vendors and utility companies.
So it just happened to me recently. I got a new credit card number for the same card. I'm trying to remember. I didn't have an incident, but they sent me a new, what was that? But at any rate, I wound up having a new, I said, so what about all the auto pay things?
That's what I'm talking about. Now,
auto pays, they give you a grace period of, I forget, 30 or 60 days to change it. You know, my Commonwealth Edison bill is on auto pay. First of all, I put them all on my credit card and then I get a zillion miles.
Sure, right.
But you have a certain period of time and the existing auto pay, but do not, I'm trying to think if I had to change. I changed it, of course, in PayPal. I changed it in Amazon because I wasn't sure that they would give me that grace period to still use it.
I should send you the documentation this guy gave me, because he sent me a portfolio of screen grabs and correspondence. And he said, people need to know that if you cancel a credit card because of unauthorized charges on that card, they may yet share your new credit card number with those people.
They may with your regular vendors.
Yeah, well.
Because they told me, I said, am I going to have to worry now about, okay, my electric bill's going to be turned down and everything else? They say no. But I didn't follow through to say, do I have to call each one of those? It's a couple months now, and I haven't gotten a thing. Get one thing. Your card's declined because it was a new card.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, was good.
Technically, that should be what happens to all of them. This may be a new column for you, Terry.
Yeah, it is. I'll think about it.
Terry, I know you got a few things you want to talk about. I'll just read one text, though, before we get started. 224 texted in to say, I hope we don't get gloomy Terry today.
Okay, you know what? I want to talk about what I think is a progression of thinking on the recession today. And you know how they always say the wife's the last one to know, or the husband, when someone's cheating in the marriage? I mean, all the neighbors know and the friends know and nobody wants to tell them. I think the consumer is always the last to know. And here's what I think is going on in the markets yesterday when it was down 500. It's part of the Federal Reserve's job is to fight inflation. Part of it is to keep people working. And they've done a pretty good job of both so far. The economy is steaming along. You know, the economic definition of a recession, 2 negative quarters of GDP. We're just not even close. The economy's growing. And we've got a couple of interesting reports this week. Yesterday, we got a jobs report that said, there's still a lot of jobs out. The economy is heating up. We're not slowing it down. So the market said, oh my goodness, the Fed's going to have to raise rates even more. The market fell. Today, we got the ADP report of payrolls and what it showed was big companies are laying off workers. And everyone said, oh, great. The Fed won't have to raise rates because the economy is slowing based on that jobs report. And Friday we'll get the unemployment report, the numbers of new jobs created. But what's going on is that the economy is still strong. So no wonder you think I'm doom and gloom. But rates are up dramatically. 82% of the time when the Fed goes through a credit tightening cycle, there have been 18 of them in the last 100 years, 82% of the time you get a recession. That's just historic statistics. So the odds are that this magnitude of credit tightening will lead to a recession. When? I have no idea. But today, or yesterday, I should say, everybody's been, up until now, the market and the lady who said she's gloomy have been ignoring the facts and the statistics that are going on behind the scenes. The stock market particularly has been saying, hey, don't worry, be happy. The economy's growing strongly. There's still, you know, it's really great. And the Fed won't be dumb enough to raise rates too much. So everybody said, okay, stick with stocks. All of a sudden, there's been a recognition that the economy is growing strongly. Maybe the Fed will do more and keep them higher for longer, and that cuts into profits of everything from banks, who now have to pay more to get your deposit. It cuts into every business that had a loan at 2% that's maturing now, and they've got to renegotiate with their bank. Now it's going to be at 6 or 7%. So that higher rates cut into profits. Oops, that's not so good for stocks. And the next step is the recognition by consumers, which may not come and probably won't until into the new year. Oh my goodness. Not only are the layoffs spreading from the big corporations, you've heard the big layoffs at the tech companies, but then the small businesses that those employees no longer patronize because they're out of work start feeling the pinch. Unemployment grows, consumers cut back, and that's when you know you're in a recession, when your income is impacted. When you lose your job or don't get overtime or your spouse loses a job.
Or you have fewer customers coming through your door.
Exactly. And that's when consumers finally realize there's a recession. So right now we have great news from consumers. They're still shopping. They bought a record number of cars.
Ford just announced.
Everything is fine. And consumers always get blindsided. Oh my goodness, Well, where did that come from?
Okay, so that's not so doom and gloomish.
No, it is. My goal is to say to you, don't be blindsided.
It's to be prepared.
Statistics tell you. There's a lot of leading indicators are telling you, consumer confidence. But ordinary people who listen to us don't read the economic chart books that I look at all the time and see these signs of weakening.
What happens
they don't
to
know
the
history that there's always a recession when the Fed goes on a
tightening. What happens to the stock markets when this recession comes?
Well, it depends on when and how that's recognized. Right now, we saw travel industry stocks down. Because if enough of you listen to me, you will say, honey, not a great idea to go to the Bahamas this winter with the kids and charge up $16,000. You know, we've been doing it. We had all this desire to go travel after the pandemic. Yeah, maybe we'll stay here. Maybe we'll stay at home. When consumers start feeling that way, then the market gets hit. The market's always forward-looking. So today, or yesterday, I should say, today we're up, 6 points now on the Dow. But yesterday there was a sudden recognition, oops, everything looks great now. But what if consumers, the last bastion, suddenly start feeling the fears of unemployment, suddenly start realizing they're buried in debt and it costs 29%? What if suddenly they get smart? And so the market's looking ahead to that. And I want you to get smart now. And I'm not...
So save money, retire credit cards.
Pay down your debt.
Find a gig job if you can put a little money away right now.
Right now it shows there are job openings. Okay, it may not be what you want to do, but instead of sitting on the couch and drinking a beer, be the waiter at the bar and you can watch it on TV in the bar.
And you drink for free.
I don't know about that.
All right. The number is 312-981-7200. If you've got a question for Terry Savage, 773. I purchased inflation bonds as a rookie. I got 4.65% last November. Should I sell them or keep them?
Are you talking about Series I?
I think that's what
savings
they meant by
bonds.
That. That's my guess.
You know, you've got those. Those are meant to be put away and held for 5 years. That was not a speculation on interest rates. So put those I bonds away as inflation comes down. The 6 month change will announced in November, a month from now. It will probably be lower than the last time around, but you're growing all that money tax deferred.
Yeah.
Just don't play the game with I bonds. There's a 3 month loss of interest penalty if you sell them early, and then what are you going to do with them? You'll go into T bills, but if inflation comes down, those rates will go down too.
Terry, what are you looking at on your phone?
I've got an email with the latest report from Jack Ablin, who was formerly chief economist at LaSalle Bank, I think it was, and who is now with Crescent Advisors. He is so good. I really like reading his stuff. And the headline is, look at this, the consumer spending foundation is cracking. So for the woman who said, oh, you're going to be doom and gloom, and I'm saying, wait, it's us. We shouldn't learn last. He said, household spending holds the key to growth, inflation trends, and monetary policy. That's because the consumer accounts for 2/3 of U.S. economic activity. Most U.S. recessions have coincided with the spending retrenchment. Remarkably, consumer spending remains strong. Although investors, the Fed, and are on the lookout for signs of spending fatigue.
Well, yeah, that's what you just said a moment ago.
I'd like to be saying to all of you what the smart money is saying.
And that is that the spending, the economy will slow because either you're going to lose your job or you're going to have fewer customers coming to your
stores. Or you're
going
to be afraid of it and you're going to pay down your debt. Because credit card debt, over $1 trillion. Average rates now over 21%, many people paying 29%.
Ready for some questions?
Yes, let's do it.
Can I lose money if I have cash sitting in a money market?
Well, you can lose money if inflation outpaces the
relative
yield you're
to inflation,
getting.
But first of all, there's
two kinds of money markets, okay? A money market deposit account at a bank is FDIC insured up to the limits. If you also have CDs and so forth, you make sure you stay under the insured limit. The way you would lose money is the bank goes under, and I'm not looking forward to that kind of a scenario. A money market mutual fund, they have different kinds of investments. Some money market mutual funds only invest in U.S. Treasury securities. Some strive for a little higher interest, so they buy commercial paper. And 99% of the time, it doesn't matter. We had an incident a few years back, but no money market fund has ever lost money although briefly for a nanosecond in 2008, 2009, I think it was, there was some concern about money market funds and commercial paper. So
what are money market funds paying? What could you expect to get?
A little. It depends. It
less
depends
than
on
a
what they invest in. T-bills are pretty much setting the standard these days.
So under 5%.
Around 5.5%. Yeah, sure.
On a money market.
On
you
a money
can
market.
Expect to get about
well,
5%.
Well, I'll look up what Fidelity's money market's paying.
Matt, you're on WGN Radio. What can we do for you, Matt? You're on the air.
Hi, Terry. I was calling. I wanted to ask about my children's Bright Start college accounts that we started years ago, and I realize like they're losing money. I didn't know they could lose money. What, if anything, I should do?
Okay, so you started them many years ago. Are they in high school, sophomores, juniors, seniors?
Two in high school and one in grade school. So.
Okay, so you have a much shorter time horizon now. You're going to need the money in 3-4 years. One of the things you can do when they're in high school is say, wait a minute, you guys are, do you probably use the age-based thing? You know, you bought it when they were 2 years old and said, you guys invest appropriately for a two-year-old?
Yeah.
Okay. At this point, you might want to take half of your money and say, I know there's a safe money market alternative inside it, and I'd like to move half of it there because I'm going to need some of this money.
So he's going to sit some of it in cash.
So you move some of it to the cash alternative.
How much money have you lost? You say that it's actually going down a little bit right now, Matt. Is that a recent trend? You haven't lost overall, have you?
No, I haven't lost overall, but, you know, I don't know how long ago it was when you get the statement periodically. You go, wait a minute, I lost money.
Yeah.
You know, the awakening moment when you do this stuff. And then, you know, now I periodically check it and it's not going up. It's, you know, I haven't lost a ton, but I haven't earned any, which is the point.
But that's because the market has been higher.
Right, exactly. So yeah. They have age-based portfolios, target portfolios.
But I mean, so that's interesting because
right
when
now.
You're doing those, you think, okay, this is the safe way to invest for college, but it's investing and the investments can go south.
Okay, watch this. We are, the all-time high was 37,000 in January 2022. So if you were in the S&P 500 index fund or mostly in stocks, the market is now, not because of yesterday, but now a couple of thousand points below the all-time highs. So if they were investing aggressively on your behalf, indeed, your account balance could have gone down. I'm just looking at the brightstart.com website, and among the alternatives you have are the Bank Savings 529 portfolio or the Vanguard Federal Money Market 529 portfolio. If you're thinking, gee, is Terry right or wrong? You know, I didn't predict the stock market. I said the odds are on an economic slowdown, whether we call it a recession or you think it's the end of the world because you lose your job kind of a thing, remains to be seen. Soft landing, hard landing, what happens to me? But the market will be looking at that. If you think that in 2-3 years, the market's going to be going, oh, that was a harder recession, maybe you want, since you're close to college, maybe you want to move 30, 40, 50% for the oldest child into the money market alternative. That will not go down.
Okay.
Okay? You need to manage your Bright Start portfolio. But when your kids start getting in high school, you have to look and make some judgments. Do I think the market will be higher than it is now?
But I'm glad Matt called because I think a lot of us think this government-funded program or arranged program, Bright Start, was kind of a guaranteed thing.
No. That's not prepaid tuition.
I'm just saying.
That's investments.
I know that, and I'm glad that Matt called about that.
Yeah, I'm glad you did. If you start it with a two-year-old, you don't worry about it. You just keep putting money in there.
And it grows.
The market goes down. You buy more shares of your growth fund that are in the portfolio. But I'm just going to go back and look at the age-based portfolio and see what they have.
And, you know, really, Matt, the upside is even if you got a couple years of improved growth, it's not like you've got 10 years of growth. You've got to start using that money now. So it makes sense to start to put some of it on the side and get ready to be used and not lost.
The age-based portfolios in Bright Start allow you to select between conservative, moderate, and aggressive styles. That's number one. So when you're 3 years old, you say, what kind of person am I? Do I want to be aggressive with this account? You go, no, I think I'll be moderate. Now might be the time to either go to the conservative style or just take some money out of the age-based portfolio and say, I'm taking half of it and putting it in the money market fund. At least I won't lose that.
Matt,
and
I hope
we'll
that
use
helps.
That first.
No, it really does. Thank you so much, guys. I appreciate you.
Okay.
Good luck to you.
Great question.
Craig, you're on WGN with Terry Savage. Hi, Craig.
Hi, I have a question for Terry.
Sure.
I'm 66. I retired, and I got about $75,000 left in a 401k program. And I'd heard about there's a 401k solo program with checkbook control that I could open up and move it over to that to be able to buy T-bills with. Do you know anything about that or suggest with that?
No, but let me start. You're retired.
Right.
Okay. So you're allowed to roll over your 401k plan.
Correct.
And probably it's a good idea to do that once you're retired, because the fund choices inside any company's plan are designed for younger people to help them make their money grow. This is the same question, only retirement instead of 2 years from college. At some point, you want to get more conservative. So you would do a rollover directly to a place like Fidelity or Vanguard. I think I know, I've read what you're talking about. But if you go to terrysavage.com and put under columns, I did this last fall, put the word rollover, you'll get a column that shows you how to do a direct rollover to a place that's very low cost. Now, people are coming around selling all kinds of things to people in your position. Aren't you nervous about being in your company's 401k plan? I mean, what are you doing with that? We will help you roll it over and tell you what to do with it. I don't know the specific deal you're referring to. And if you want to post a question with the specifics on my blog at terrysavage.com, I'll look into it. But you could probably do the same thing. You can't buy treasuries in an IRA. But what you could do is buy a treasury money market fund with a portion, an equity income fund, something more conservative that pays dividends, and you could have a more conservative portfolio, no tax consequences, and then next year you're going to start withdrawing. I think you said 72, so next year you'll be withdrawing at age 73.
He's 66.
Oh, sorry, I don't know why I heard that. Okay.
No, yeah.
But if you've left your company, you can do the rollover. And you could do the rollover to Fidelity or Vanguard without any commissions to anybody, and you could choose their Vanguard Federal Money Market Fund.
We'll start with a break into the WGN Radio Newsroom. We've got more business news with Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. A new report shows dismal inclusion of Latinos on corporate boards in Illinois. Crane's reports only 3% of Latinos have board seats on Illinois-based public companies, while they make up about 18% of the state's population. The figures come from a study conducted by the Latino Corporate Directors Association. It looked at the composition of boards at 166 companies in the state, and only 34 had Latino representation. Illinois lawmakers passed a bill in 2019 encouraging greater diversity on boards, but companies have been filing incomplete reports about their progress. Macy's says it will open 30 new small format stores after testing the concept in markets like Chicago. The retailer has a Market by Macy's store in Evergreen Park that opened last year. It also has smaller stores in Dallas, Atlanta, and St. Louis. The smaller stores are about a fifth of the size of a typical mall-based store. The 30 new stores are set to open by the fall of 2025, with locations to be announced later. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
This is the Business of Food with Steve Alexander.
Thank you. It is National Pork Month, and if you like bacon...
Bacon.
Yeah, we know, Homer. Or if you like ham sandwiches or pulled pork or pork chops, there is something off our shores that could wipe out much of the U.S. hog herd. And I'll tell you about it after we thank the Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com for sponsoring us today. It is truck season. Add a Silverado to your toolbox. Okay, the threat to your morning bacon? Here to tell us about it is...
Rosemary Sifford, Chief Veterinary Officer for the United States and Deputy Administrator for Veterinary Services.
African swine fever has made its way around most of the world. Millions of hogs have died. So far, it has not arrived in the United States, but it's close, the Dominican Republic and Haiti. And to keep it out, the government and the hog industry have thrown up a full court press.
Vigilance and preparedness are our best protections against this disease, and losing a large number of animals at one time would certainly have an impact on our ability to produce pork.
Yeah, this is where the word biosecurity comes in.
Yes, producers have been encouraged to really strengthen their biosecurity and make sure their separation from their animals and any outside contact that might bring the virus in, because people can often unknowingly move the virus around on their clothing or equipment.
And it isn't just hog farmers who need to be aware. People like our very own Lisa Dent, who counts her pet pig Penelope as part of her family, need to be biosecure.
Yeah, it's just really important to ensure that that animal doesn't come into contact with anything that might be risky, including any uncooked pork products of unknown origin.
And she points out that while ASF is not a threat to human health, it is a threat to the 2 billion pounds of pork produced each year by Illinois hog farmers. The USDA has a lot more information about African swine fever. Just search for Protect Our Pigs. From the farm to your belly, how about some shredded pork tacos? Today's National Tacos Day. It's National Cinnamon Bun Day. It's National Pumpkin Seed Day. And to wash it all down, it's National Vodka Day. I'm Steve Alexander. That's the Business of Food on 720 WGN.
Jerry, you're on WGN. How can we help you?
Hi. Excuse me. My wife has a part-time job with a company that she used to work full-time for, and found out it's closing. And she has about $60,000 in a 401k there. She was wondering what to do with that.
Go to terrysavage.com. The left-hand side is all my columns, the most recent ones. There's a box to search. Search the word rollover. It will give you all her instructions. But you sound young. She sounds young. She's not retired. You're just going to roll it over to an IRA and invest in a diversified way, and she can pick it probably the same funds that are in her company plan. I won't ask how old she is, but are appropriate, but at least half of it in the S&P 500, maybe 20% in the equity income fund, and the rest in a short-term bond fund.
Okay, thank
Keep
you very
dry.
Much.
Terry,
mm-hmm.
Thanks for the call. Jerry, thanks for the call. By the way, Terry, just before the break, somebody said, I want to invest how you're investing. How are you investing? Where do you put your money?
You know I'm going to say that doesn't matter. I mean, yeah, I've eaten my own cooking for 40 years now. And here's what I know works. Invest regularly. Don't chicken out when things get bad. I mean, I've done that on occasion, and the market's near its all-time high, so every time I chickened out and said, wait, maybe I have too much in stocks, it was a mistake. Now I'm at a stage where I have a different outlook. I mean, I'm at the point where preservation of capital has a new meaning for me. So it depends on your age and your stage, but you have to always have some stocks. Keep investing regularly, know what you're doing and why you're doing it, and then don't chicken out when things get scary. Have enough chicken money so you can sleep at night and ride these things out. That's how I've done it, and it worked.
My kids were not able to borrow all they needed for college, so we took out some Parent Plus loans. Are there any programs that are in the making to help with Parent Plus loans?
Yes, but you have to call Ray Kaplan, and you must know her number by heart. She's in my speed dial.
312-294-8989.
Depending on the Parent Plus loan and who signed for it, there may be a way to reduce the current monthly payment and get the balance of it forgiven after a number of years of repayments. It depends a lot on who signed the loan and what that, if you're both working, what the income is. There's a way now, perhaps, to at least take some of the sting out of it. Call Ray Kaplan. Ray Kaplan, RaeKaplan.com.
Ray, RAE, 312-294-8989. I visited with her in her office the other day. I went over there because I had a question about my son's student loan.
Uh-huh.
And I was amazed because I was trying. They said, here, John, just go on the computer, log into the account, and then just make some of these changes. And it was like Chinese to me. And it was so simple to them. They go, oh, well, here's what that is. Oh, well, then you should do this. Bam, bam, bam. And I mean,
they know specifically.
Something that would have taken me days that I would have not been confident about. They did in 1 minute.
That's why they're
money
so good
well
at
spent.
It. Yeah.
Pete, we got time for one more call. If we don't, he says no. Then answer this. Terry, any concern with having a large percentage of my IRA money in the money markets, say at Fidelity?
No.
Currently yielding 5% is attractive to me. I'm 63 and retired.
Okay, no. But at 63, the odds are you're going to live another 25 years, and you should have a portion of it. In a conservative stock fund, the equity income fund, for example, all in cash lets you sleep at night. And right now we're beating inflation, we chicken money people, so it's great. But inflation will come down, and so will the rates on money markets. So some of your money needs to be in some form of conservative stock portfolio. Not to say you won't lose it, but you've got 25 more years. So I don't want you to just run away from the future of America, and that's what the stock market is.
Click on terrysavage.com for more wisdom like this. Terry Savage, it's nice to see you in the studio today.
Good to be here.